Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows? Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Isaiah, the 41st chapter, the verses 1 through 11. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 41, the first 11 verses. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, oh, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Thus far the scripture reading. We announce to the congregation that Mr. and Mrs. Case van de Bruinhorst were blessed with the birth of a baby girl this past Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is pleased thee by renewal on this holy day of rest to gather us and our children within the walls of thy house of prayer under thy word and eternal testimony. The apostle of old has written to the churches, and who maketh thee to differ? And our Lord, what maketh us and our children to differ from most of the people upon the face of the earth? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we commend unto thee the hungry ones, the homeless, the destitute, the many in refuge camps, many in prisons, great multitudes in hospitals and other institutions of mercy, and then the great multitudes that have not thy word, those that are under a deceitful religion, and the many that are spending this day as other days. Thou was also written in thy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Shall not only have to give an account of all of our sins, but also of each blessing which thou granteth each Sabbath day and each sermon. And our Lord, to that end, then we humbly beg of thee, that thou may dwell richly amongst us, that it may please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit for the first time and in continuance. We humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy holy word, our Lord. May it be the time of thy sovereign good pleasure, that it may please thee, that sinners may mightily be wrought upon, that they may be slain upon the battlefield, a free and sovereign grace pricked in their heart, placed in their missing, that godly sorrow that leadeth to that true repentance and a seeking after the living God with the need to be pardoned of all of our sins. Lord, that is thy work, and in that way thy name shall be glorified. And thou wast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Ah, may the prayers be multiplied to that end Oh, we live in serious and solemn times. Thy judgments stand at the door. But thou wert still gathering a church. Thou wast not promised to gather a church in places of wickedness and vanity. Thou canst do all things. But thou wast promised to bless thy word. But not only for conversions. Thou knowest who are thine. Thou knowest where thy people are encamped. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. Ah, may there have been those among young and old who have fervently begged, have cried unto thee, that thou may grant a little token for good. A people that learns more and more all sinned away, all undeserved. But my souls also have come up, that have begged, that they may be instructed and led further. A people whom thou hast set apart, but still with the burden of sin upon their back, and who need to be pardoned, who have learned when I see the blood, I will pass over you. O Lord, grant unto thy children that they may believe more strongly, that they may hope more ardently, that they may walk more willingly with their eyes upon the King, who has said in his word, who has promised, that he shall never forsake his church. Well, I remember consistory, their manifold labors, who is sufficient unto these things. In this morning hour we have heard that of Moses there was an Aaron and Hur. May that also have been the case in this day and in this evening hour. We remember thy church all over the earth, the established churches, thy servants, elders and deacons, remember all the vacant congregations. Wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church? Remember those in prison that are being tortured, and examine concerning the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. O wilt thou grant them the exercise of faith to look upon their King and to be given to believe that without the will of the Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall to the ground. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Thy servants and the team, and may it please thee to grant another worker. We remember the many needs and the blessings in the midst of the congregation. Then in the past week, then thou wast blessed the father and mother by renewal in their married life, with the birth of a well-born child, ah, Lord. Well, to grant a broken and a humble heart. May it be a child of many prayers. May it be a child for thy glory. Well, to strengthen the mother. Well, to help in the day and during the night. remember the grandparents. We remember all the barren ones amongst us. And wilt thou remember the mothers and the unborn. There are different ones that may commemorate special events. One of our elderly ones, her birthday, and a husband and wife united for 45 years. We commend them all unto thee. Wilt thou remember for the time, and above all for that never-ending eternity. By renewal, we commend the mourning ones unto thee. The sick and afflicted, remember them among the young, among the old. A daughter who underwent surgery in the past week, and then thou was made all things well, grant a humble heart, and may it be used for her eternal welfare. Another young daughter has underwent much testing, difficulties, and thus far no solution. Then we commend her unto thee. Wilt thou grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Remember her together with her parents, and may thou come in with this calling. Then they could say, it was good to be afflicted. Remember all the crosses, all the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou provide our daily bread, the midst of the family circles. We commend unto thee the needs in the realm of nature. Thou hast given gentle showers, and in this day the sun may shine in its brilliance, Lord. May that also take place in this evening hour, the showers of thy Holy Spirit, and that the Son of Righteousness, the prophet of old, has declared, but unto you that fear my name, as shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in their wings. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help in this evening hour. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou grant a little opening of thy word, that with freedom, liberty, with joy, we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the triune God. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. For each and every one of us, there shall be a last Sabbath day and a last sermon. Lord, use it in this evening hour. May there have come up empty vessels, and it is written in the scriptures, when the doors of that dwelling were closed, the oil began to flow, and those vessels that are so full of the world and of self-righteousness, may they be emptied. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou bind the Satan, and remember all those that could and cannot come up to thy house, those in the old age home, taking care of the little ones, grant them a Sabbath day blessing. We remember also our poor country, O Lord. We have departed so far from Thee, and it is written in Thy Word that the time has come and that the judgments must begin in the house of God. O grant unto Thy church that we may be given to repent of our evil and our worldly ways while it can yet, and while it may yet, and by Thy grace to be given to seek and also to find a hiding place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Oh, what we forget, Lord, wilt Thou not forget? Look down upon us in this evening, our poor sinners, in the Son of Thine eternal love. We ask it in the pardoning of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee, and what follows. Psalter 416, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Oh, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 1, the question and answers 1 and 2. Question number 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question number 2. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Answer 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Lord's Day number 1 speaks of Zion's only comfort in life and death. With 3 thoughts in the first place, a weighty and searching question. In the second place, a rich and comprehensive answer. And in the third place, a necessary and blessed knowledge. As Zion's only comfort in life and death, a weighty and searching question, as is expressed in question 1, a rich and comprehensive answer in answer 1, and a necessary and blessed knowledge in question and answer and number 2. Beloved congregation, when in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we may make a beginning with an explanation of our Heidelberg Catechism, then it is also necessary and profitable to know the times and the circumstances when our catechism was written, and that shall help us to understand when the Lord spares us to see the reason why different questions have been asked, and to give an example why quite a few Lord's days have been devoted to the explanation of the sacraments, then what a blessing that the Lord has given to the church in the time of the Reformation, where the church was in Egyptian bondage. Oh, the Lord still had a remnant, and the Lord shall always have a remnant till Christ comes upon the clouds of heaven. And nevertheless, it was a church in much darkness, with much superstition. The word of God has been withheld from the people. And I read in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And now, congregation of Pitcher Butte, then we may still be children of the Reformation. And what maketh us to differ from so many others who also had the root in the Reformation, and where the truth is no longer found, and where the church has become a society with entertainment, recreation, and maybe a little of the Word of God. Then our church is called a Reformed Church. And then it is necessary that that may be visible to the world and in the midst of the community. And now the Lord has a purpose, where we may believe, where the Lord still has the truth among a people, that there are lying under the seal of election who must and shall be brought forth, set apart, as we read in Psalm 4 verse 3. And may that be your fervent prayer. May it please the King to pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication upon us and our children, that he may do a great work amongst us, and that for the unconverted, that they may become partakers of that comfort in beginning, and for the children of God, when we begin with the explanation of our Heidelberg Catechism, that they may hear what they have received by grace, because the prophet has said in Zechariah 4 verse 10, not to despise the day of small things, but further, that Zion may hear that there is more that is needed, that they may hear what they miss. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit, each time by renewal in the life of his child, that their missing becomes greater than their possession, and then there is room for a further leading in the mysteries of salvation. Our Heidelberg Catechism, that is one of our three doctrinal standards, which we find in the back of our Psalter, which have been ratified or formulated at the Synod of Dort in the year 1618 and 1619. And those three doctrinal standards, they are the Confession of Faith, formulated by Guy de Debray in the year 1561. And that confession of faith has been written to confess to the world what the church professes and believes. Our Heidelberg Catechism has been finished 2 years later in the years 1563, and the canons of Dort at the Synod of Dort. Sometimes you meet people, and that sounds very beautiful, and it can sound very orthodox when you speak of the three doctrinal standards which the Lord in His providence has given unto His church, that they say, I do not need those standards, because for me, I need only the Bible. And that sounds beautiful, and it sounds orthodox, and of course it is true. One of the watchwords of the Reformers was, a sola scriptura, and let that be amongst us and our children, where the spirit of the world can also creep into the church in such a sly way. And when you are explaining the scriptures, when you are gently admonishing, then sometime you also hear in the midst of the church, but I think, or I feel this way, no. I read in Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they walk not according to this word, it is because there is no light to them. But most of the time, many times, when you meet people that have objections against our doctrinal standards, which the Lord in a special providence, an heritage entrusted unto us, and when they tell us that the Bible is sufficient, then it is usually a desire that they may explain the scriptures in their own way and have their own religion, and in that way rejecting what the Lord has given to His church, given in a time of persecution, given by our forefathers, who have received much light from above. But let us always remember our three forms of unity, never above the scriptures, never on an even plane, but subordinate. And to that end, in our three doctrinal standards, then each time they have pointed us to the scriptures, thus saith the Lord. The Scottish churches, they also have three doctrinal standards formulated at their Westminster Assembly in the years 1643 through 47. And now concerning our doctrinal standards, then we have said the confession of faith to confess to the world what the church believes. Our Heidelberg Catechism, that is to instruct the church and especially the youth, and our canons of Dort to defend against the heir of Arminianism, that heir of free will, man something and God something. Oh, then the three forms of unity, they are given to defend free and sovereign grace, but not excluding the responsibility of man. And now the question, the first Lord's Day, that is, as it were, an introduction and a summary of the catechism. And what a weighty, what a searching, and what an important question. And how young and old, that question comes to each and every one of us in this evening hour. And may it please God Almighty by His Spirit that that question, that it may touch our heart, that we may not put it aside because it concerns that only comfort. Then it is profitable and just in short to understand the circumstances under which your catechism was written, that it was still a time of persecution, it is true, many times localized, 1563, Martin Luther, the Lord has taken him into glory, into 1547, thus our catechism written approximately 16 years. John Calvin has nearly come to the end of his life, and our children know that we usually date our Reformation to October 31st in the year 1517. And nevertheless, there was still much persecution. Oh, the devil has many ways to destroy his church. He shall try to persecute, oh, to extinguish the Church of Jesus Christ from off the face of the earth, but it shall never be, because Christ has said, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth, and even in the latter days, and we are living in those latter days, the judgments of the Lord are at hand. You have experienced in southern Alberta the writing upon the wall that the enemy of the Lord and the enemies of the church, that they shall have no rest until the church shall agree with all the sins of the time. And if the church does not agree, then there shall be persecution. 'Tis so necessary and so profitable for us and our children to read the history of the church, read the history of the Huguenots. Then we shall see many similarities between our day and that day. And in the time that the Heidelberg Catechism was finished, then in France, the massacre at Vassy had taken place, and nine years later in 1572, the massacre of St. Bartholomew. Thus then they lived in a time where there was still persecution. There was also a time that many people did not become so old, and not so many parents that have kept all their children, and many mothers have entered into eternity in childbirth, and many little children and older ones were taken away by sickness. Thus then it was a time that the church was confronted with much death, with much sorrow, and with much misery. Ah, may we be given to consider, to stand still, the blessings of the Lord, that the Lord granteth unto us and our children. Oh, I know, there is sorrow, there are crosses, and there are burdens. But when we consider the people in this day upon the face of the earth, who is a people that is blessed so richly as we are, outwardly, but also concerning the truth of God's words. And now concerning the idol bearer catechism, which we have may receive as a precious gift from the Lord, then it was under the reign of Frederick III. In the 1500s, we read of two Frederick III's, because young people, you can remember that with Martin Luther, there was also a Frederick III who was a ruler, many times called Frederick the Wise. The Frederick III concerning the formulating of the Heidelberg Catechism was sometime called Frederick the Pious. Oh, not that he was a pious man outwardly, as some people are, and not inwardly, no. Then the enemies had to confess what a godly man that Frederick III was, and that Frederick III, oh, he has learned by the work of the Holy Spirit that only comfort in life and death. He was brought up in riches and luxury under the Roman Catholic religion, but when he was 20 years old, he lost his dear mother. I hope, young people, that you appreciate your parents much, and that you ask the Lord much, that you may honor and that you may obey them. And now, shortly after the death of his mother, then he desired to have a certain Maria to become his future wife. But then Maria has said to Frederick, you may have me under one condition, that you must promise that every day that together we read and search the scriptures, and that we read the writings of Martin Luther. And because of that great love to Maria, then Frederick III has promised the same. And in those days, promises and vows were not made lightly. No, then if Frederick III, after he was united in holy matrimony to Maria, then he did not forsake his promise, but then he kept that promise. And together they have diligently searched the Word of God and the writings of Martin Luther. I hope that our young married couples, that they do the same. And now it has pleased the Lord by His Spirit to bless that searching of the Scriptures and the explanations of Martin Luther. Because, oh, if there was one that could tell you that we cannot be saved by our works, then it was Martin Luther. He has learned that it was only by grace, the work of a triune God. And then he was disinherited from his family. They have suffered much poverty, but they were given to walk. Oh, what a blessing for Frederick and Maria that they were given to walk in the tender fear of the Lord. And although they have sacrificed much, they received no inheritance. They have lived in great poverty. They have lived in dependence upon their God. Ah, then they were given to experience that comfort of what is declared in Lord's Day number 1. Ah, they have also experienced a great grief where their oldest daughter, Alberta, a few years before her 15th birthday, that she was taken into eternity. Oh, young people who are 15 years, if that would happen to you in this week, are you prepared? Then what an important question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? A few years later, a son is drowned. Olivianus has tried to rescue, but the son drowned and cast for Olivian as he has made a vow, because the Lord has spared him that he would become a preacher. And now Frederick the Third, and then when he was 44 years old, he became ruler over a province in Germany. And then he was given to see, and that is necessary to understand, to fully understand our catechism and different questions and answers that were given. Ah, then Frederick the Third, he had such a love for his people. And then he had a desire that there would be a union. But then among the Protestants, there has come a division, because there were differences between Luther and Calvin. Luther still had his heirs. The Lord has done a great wonder that he was brought out of the Roman Catholic Church. What a light he has received. The late Reverend Varenus says it so nice. He said, now Luther knows better. But that caused such a division in the midst of the church, because there was in the church and in the family circles those, the one says Luther is right, and the other Calvin, and then Frederick the Third came in the needs. And do you know what that ruler has done? That for a few weeks, that he has secluded himself in a secret place with the word of God, begging the Lord for light to show who was right. Oh, Maria has even become concerned. And then the Lord has shown unto Frederick the Third that Calvin, that he was according to the Bible. And then a Frederick the Third, he had a desire that a catechism would be made, formulated for the church and also for the youth, that those truths of God's holy word, that they may be explained to the multitudes of the people. And then he has sought out two men, and they were not so old. Caspar Olivianus, Zacharias Ursinus, the one 26 years old, and the other 28. Many times in the midst of the church, the Lord has used young men. Martin Luther was 34 when he has posted his thesis on the Church of Wittenberg. John Calvin, 26 or 27, when he has written the first edition of his Institutes. Oh, we could multiply it out, ministers that were so young. And not only in the time of the Reformation, also in our denomination, the late Reverend Kirsten, the late Reverend Lemaine, they have stood on the pulpit before they were 20 years old. May it please the Lord from among our youth to raise up godly men and godly mothers in the home. Zacharias Ursinus, he was professor at the Heidelberg Catechism, in Caspar Olivianus, he was a court preacher. Oh, Olivianus has experienced. He knew what it was to be in prison. And now the Lord has given those men much light, that they have formulated the Heidelberg Catechism. And then it was brought before a council, because there was much opposition. And then Frederick the Third has come with his oldest son, has carried the Bible, was his armor bearer, and they have received permission that it may be used. And at the Synod of Dort was discussed, and that it must be preached in the churches Sabbath day after Sabbath day. Thus, congregation, a few words concerning the history. Thus then there were many questions concerning the heirs of the Roman Catholic Church, but also concerning the heirs of Martin Luther. And now that weighty and searching question that comes to each and every one of us, but let us first sing Psalter 327, the stanzas 1-4. Lord, thy word to me remember, thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. And what follows, Psalter 327, the 4 stanzas. Oh, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? And then the question is not congregation, or whether we desire comfort. We are all seeking for happiness and for comfort. And through our deep fallen Adam, then so much misery has come upon this world. And I read in Job 14 verse 1, that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Through our deep fallen Adam, we have lost that true comfort. The earth has been cursed. We have come under his wrath. What does that word comfort mean, boys and girls? That means to be happy, to be free from worries, from anxiety. That means to be satisfied. That means that we may be glad. And now the first question in our Heidelberg Catechism, what is thy? Thus, that is a very personal question. Then in this evening hour with that question, on the first Lord's Day that we may be in your midst, then with that question, then we may do a little house visitation. And what is house visitation, boys and girls? That is heart visitation, to ask how it is in our heart. And now concerning that comfort, the one seeks it in this, Ahab, with another vineyard, a Haman to be honored, and Nebuchadnezzar with a great Babylon that he was building, the Pharisees with their religion, and the rich farmer in Luke 12 that he had good crops, and to pull down his old ones, of course not wrong by itself, but that rich fool was seeking happiness therein, that he had sufficient to live off. Oh, undoubtedly, maybe if he had given enough to the poor and enough to the Lord, his barns would have been big enough. But now the question is, what is thy comfort, boys and girls? What are we now seeking to make us happy? And then there can be things that indeed give comfort. As Solomon has said in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 13, and that a man may eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labors, for it is a gift of God. But now we must always remember that around the world, the late Reverend Van de Kemp has stated in a certain place, that a round world can never satisfy a triangular heart. And then if I would ask our boys and girls, where are you seeking your happiness and your comfort? Then I would receive maybe many different answers. Maybe a little girl with her doll, a little boy with a toy tractor, and would there also be a few boys and girls that are seeking that comfort that you beg the Lord for in your heart? What is thy only comfort? than maybe our young people, then the answers would be more diverse. What a desires and what a dreams there can be. May we be kept from sinful things. What a multitudes there are in the time that on account of unhappiness, discouragements, disappointments, not wanting to face reality, that they are turning to alcohol, to drugs, and other things. May we be kept. May we be graciously kept. And may we be kept from seeking our comfort in sinful and unlawful things where we are surrounded by so many temptations. Then undoubtedly many of our young people, if we would ask them, what is thy comfort? Where do you hope to find the true happiness? Then maybe you would say to find a partner in the church, to be married, to receive a family, to provide, and so on. What is thy only comfort? Middle-aged ones in my midst. Then the world is quickly passing by. And what is thy comfort? Not to despise what the Lord gives. What a blessing when the Lord has spared the whole family circle. There are families in our midst that mourn the loss of loved ones, of young people, and of children. But what is thy comfort, be now honest? Has the world fully satisfied you? No, it cannot be. Because this round world can never satisfy. Oh, when we see the labors of the children of men, they set their eye upon this comfort. And when they have gained the comfort, maybe not the satisfaction they have expected, maybe a bubble. And then we set our eye on another comfort. And so we hasten through the time. My elderly friends, what is thy comfort? The Lord has spared you for many years. Provided for your daily bread, the midst of trials and afflictions, has kept hitherto. But now the question of the instructor. What is thy only comfort? That is the most important, the main comfort, number one. But then there is added, in life and in death. Then the instructors are impressing not only that comfort for our death and for eternity, but then the instructors are stressing that the comfort for the child of God that is experienced here in the time already, thus a warning against dualism, in the life of the true child of God, then it does not go in the first place about heaven, but then it goes about the God of heaven. And therefore in this evening hour, young and old, not to despise the many comforts that the Lord grants unto us and our children above most of the people upon the face of the earth. But what is thy only comfort in life and in death? Tell me, young and old, what can we take along of the things of the world? Then you know the answer, boys and girls. Nothing. I read in the scripture that we come naked upon this earth and that we go away naked. Thus all the comforts, then they shall fall away. And what an anxiety concerning the comforts that the Lord gives. As fathers and mothers concerning their children, Job has said in Job 3, verse 25, what he has feared, that has come upon him. What a fears there can be for fathers and mothers to receive the tiding that their child is no more. Husbands and wives, there shall come a separation. Thus then, what a pointed question. And congregation, we shall close, the Lord willing, the next Lord's Day we hope to continue. But what a solemn, what a touching, and what an important question that the instructor is given to ask. Lay your heart beside it. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? And that comfort for the true child of God, that is given by the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And we have read together out of Isaiah 40, where the prophet has exclaimed, given the command to speak to the children of Israel when they would be in captivity, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord sand, double for all her sins. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? A question, congregation, that declares that there is comfort to be found and comfort to be had, but we must become partakers of that comfort here in the time. Thus, in that question, it is implied, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, are you prepared to meet your Maker? How is it with your sins? Because we cannot appear before the judge with our sins. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Oh, then in the first Lord's Day, then it is, as it were, that the instructor tries to arouse to a holy jealousy. I ask the question once more. May you be given to take it home, to examine your heart, and cry unto the Lord, what is thy only comfort in life? And in death, may the Lord work lovingly, irresistibly in the hearts of young and old, to become partaker of that comfort for the coming of His kingdom, the glory of His name. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge Thee that Thou hast given another Lord's Day unto us and our children. And may we be given to return to our home. Oh, may there be souls that may truly be troubled, and that may be given to cry unto Thee. And, oh, Lord, where Thou hast begun, to be given to meditate upon the wonderful works of the Lord, and to meditate upon the answer which our instructors have given based upon Thy holy word. Thou was granted that we may commence another week. Wilt Thou graciously watch over us? Wilt Thou help and remember the mothers in home with the children, all at work wherever it may be? Wilt Thou grant traveling mercies, and wilt Thou graciously keep from sin and temptation? Remember the consistory when they hope to meet in the day of tomorrow. And wilt Thou remember also concerning the sacrament of holy baptism? Oh, Lord, wilt Thou grant those exercises? Wilt Thou remember fathers and mothers? May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Bind us more and more together at Thy throne of grace. Wilt Thou help each in our labors? That we may be found faithful stewards, wilt Thou grant strength, health, and courage. Watch now over us in this evening hour, and forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 53, the first four stanzas. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. And what follows, Psalter 53, the first four stanzas. grace save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.